Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In The Now podcast channel. Joining me once again for the conversation, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, thank you for dropping by on this Thursday morning to spend some time with our listeners, our clients. Welcome back. Looking forward to our conversation today.
Thanks, Dan. It's good to be back with you.
So a lot happening across many fronts. Let's begin with a geopolitical roundup. We'll cover a couple of topics there, beginning with the Russia-Ukraine war. It does appear that Russia and Ukraine are moving towards a limited ceasefire agreement. Do you have a sense, Shane, for what the conditions of that would consist of, along with timing as to when a deal could be reached?
Yeah, supposedly a deal was reached just the other night. And so, you know, we're watching to see if this is, you know, its implementation, you know, comes to fruition, or if tensions are still too hot that, you know, that the limited ceasefire goes into effect. And you're right to call limited, because it is fairly limited. You know, the main point for Ukraine's benefit is that there won't be long-range missile attacks on their energy infrastructure, while the benefit for Russia is that there is essentially a Black Sea ceasefire, allowing, you know, ships to passage and some commerce to reopen there. And this is really to probably Russia's naval advantage. You know, the Black Sea has been actually where I think Ukraine has seen some of its victories on the battlefield. So, you know, there is some concern that this overall benefits Russia versus Ukraine. But I think, you know, this is a very sensitive limited ceasefire. You know, will it lead to a larger ceasefire? I think, you know, President Trump is trying to push Russia, and we've sent some concern from President Trump, and he's noted that Russia is dragging its feet. And so, you know, I think he would like to see a deal done much quicker between Russia and Ukraine. But I think this is such a tense situation. And part of the trick here is that no one really trusts Putin. And, you know, if a real ceasefire is to be achieved, his trust has to be gained by, you know, him actually meeting the kind of limited ceasefire details right now. So we'll see if that actually happens.
Okay, so more to come on that front. And while one ceasefire deal is being worked towards or achieved on a limited basis, another ceasefire appears to have been fractured as armed conflict between Israel and Hamas has resumed in Gaza. What exactly, Shane, led to this? And can the agreement from earlier this year be salvaged?
Yeah, well, the ceasefire from earlier this year, you know, had its rough moments, but, you know, it generally held together. I think what is kind of maybe not fully appreciated is the details where, you know, that was a phase one of a ceasefire. There were plans for phase two and phase three, the phase two never happened, obviously. And part of that was the U.S. negotiating with Israel and, you know, agreeing to extend the ceasefire for 50 days to discuss, you know, phase two and the release of the remainder of the living hostages. And this proposal was rejected by Hamas. At the same time, you know, Israel was growing concerned about preemptive strikes from Hamas as they were attempting to rearm themselves. So they kind of, you know, had their own preemptive strike and resumed the war. And so, you know, I think the past few days have been very interesting on the ground. We've seen some limited protests by Palestinians against Hamas. And even limited protests against Hamas is extremely notable. You know, dissent against Hamas has traditionally been met with, you know, severe punishment, often dissenters being killed by Hamas, you know, Palestinians. So this is quite interesting, and we'll see if that kind of leads to some further pushback that, you know, puts Hamas in an awkward position to the point where they have to negotiate for their own survival. So, you know, I think the next few weeks and months are going to be quite interesting and important to the question of, you know, what happens next in Gaza. Will there be another ceasefire? Will Israel continue to push forward and try and find their hostages? And then what will the day after look like? You know, we're obviously seeing a lot of talk from President Trump and also other foreign leaders about, you know, what will Gaza look like after this conflict is over. So I think we're kind of at a turning point, but unfortunately, I don't think we know, you know, where the turn is going.
Well, it definitely remains a delicate and fluid situation. Thank you, Shane, for bringing us up to speed on these geopolitical points of interest. I do want to ask about this development from earlier in the week. We did see several high-ranking administration officials, along with the vice president, advisors involved in a leak regarding communication on the Signal app. Curious as to what your interpretation is here. We have seen several officials testify on Capitol Hill this week. Might this change how high-level officials communicate going forward?
Yeah, it's fascinating to watch. I think there are a few senior officials who are particularly under the gun here and potentially could lose their jobs. You know, first of all, this is a unsecured chat, which, you know, countries like Russia and China may have been able to, you know, access. And so the communications of these intelligence officials and high-level officials in the Trump administration, it's very concerning that they would have such a conversation over this app. You know, I think National Security Advisor Mike Walls may be number one under the scrutiny as he started this chat group. And Department of Defense Secretary Hegseth is probably number two of who is under scrutiny, as, you know, some of the things he said in that chat may have been classified information and, you know, potentially expose him to legal jeopardy. Now, you know, Secretary Hegseth and the Trump administration are pushing back and saying none of the information is classified. You know, I think that's going to be an interesting point for them to debate. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, that you know, there are Republicans who are concerned about this transgression. And, you know, Senator Roger Wicker, who's the chairman of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate, has already called for an inspector general to investigate and report back on this. And so, you know, I think, you know, even Republicans are concerned about the situation and will, you know, demand that this be cleaned up and, you know, these officials don't use this application to discuss such intelligence matters anymore. So, you know, I think this incident is not going to go away immediately. It may die down in the sense that other issues may take the headlines away. But, you know, I think people who believe that, you know, we're going to stop talking about it, you know, next week, that could be the case. But I think this will be something that, you know, comes back time and again, you know, as, you know, Secretary of Defense Hegseth has to occasionally testify. And to that point, you know, National Director of Intelligence Gabbard and the CIA Director Ratcliffe, they had to testify this week. And this was both in the House and Senate. And this was a very contentious point of those hearings. So, you know, while some of these officials may like to turn the page, I don't think it's going to be as easy as they think to turn the page.
Well, definitely an interesting story, and we will see what comes from any investigations into it. Maybe one more topic we can cover for this week, Shane. We did see at the White House late yesterday, President Trump did announce new auto tariffs, and this is coming ahead of next week, April 2nd. I know the White House is coining the date as Liberation Day. We're expected to hear about additional tariff announcements from President Trump. What can we expect in just a few days?
Well, first you noted the auto tariff, so I think we should talk about that for a moment. You know, this is a 25% tariff for automobiles. It's going to take effect, I think, next Thursday, April 3rd. For auto parts, the tariff will take effect, I think, May 3rd. So there's a little bit difference there, and that is noteworthy. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, these are will have a real world impact. The Department of Commerce, their data indicates that the U.S. imported over $200 billion in passenger cars last year alone. So, you know, think about a 25% tariff on $200 billion. You're talking, you know, $40 billion right there in you know, what will probably be passed along to the consumer. Or they may shift and buy, you know, automobiles that are produced in the U.S. So, you know, this is noteworthy. But to your point, you know, next week there's a lot of anticipation for these reciprocal tariffs for April 2nd. There's a lot of questions about, you know, how these will be put into place and what countries will they be levied upon. I think they're going to be pretty far-reaching. There is some talk about maybe doing kind of buckets or tiers. You know, tier one may be kind of the focal point. Tier two and tier three are kind of targeted countries, but maybe less aggressively. So, you know, I think you're seeing other countries that believe they will be a target of some of these reciprocal tariffs are starting to prepare for, you know, how they will respond. Will that be by a negotiation to lower some of their own tariffs on U.S. products and goods? Or will it be to institute a retaliatory tariffs on, you know, the U.S.'s reciprocal tariffs? So, you know, I think this is going to be a market event that with a lot of interest, and, you know, that will, as pretty much most of the tariffs that Trump has put in place, be fluid. And what I mean there is, you know, Trump can change his mind on the whole thing. But I think this is a commitment that he's very serious about, and I expect him to follow through. However, I think there may be some nuance as it develops. You know, he may pull back on certain products or certain countries, as especially if those countries come to the negotiating table and show some good faith that is well received. So I think this is going to be a big storyline next week, especially for us of those that are interested in the market impact.
Well, more to come next week, and it will give us a lot to talk about, I'm sure, Shane. Though, thank you as always for spending a few moments with our listeners and clients, keeping them informed on what's going on around the world and, of course, here in the U.S. Look forward to speaking again soon, Shane. Thank you very much.
Looking forward, Dan, and we can't forget that today is opening day of baseball, so let's go Mets.
Definitely. Good luck to your Mets this year with Juan Soto, and we'll see how a very injured Yankees roster does this year. So glad baseball is back. Thanks again, Shane. Appreciate it. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. And as always, I do like to point out to our listeners and clients, you can now locate the latest Washington Weekly publication, which is available now up on UBS.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit UBS.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending, UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.